Rasulullah alayhi said that instead of saying is a city that you can go on talking about, and Madina Tayyiba gets its virtue because of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making hijrat to Madina Tayyiba and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passing away in Madina Tayyiba and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam resting in Madina Tayyiba. Every piece of ground, every leaf of every tree there, and everything that is associated with Madina Tayyiba gets great significance, great virtue. No matter how beautiful the dates and no matter how big and how tasty the dates may be from any other part of the world. At present we get from West Africa and other places, no matter how tasty they may be. But the dry date of Madina Tayyiba is still more enjoyable, and it has great virtue because it is connected to Madina Tayyiba. Madine ki nisbat hai qeemat meri, wagarna haqeeqat pe saste hai hum. It says, Madine ki nisbat hai qeemat meri, wagarna haqeeqat pe saste hai hum. We are very, very cheap. We have got no price tag at all. We have got no value at all. If we have any value, if we have any kind of worth, then it is because of our nisbat with Madina Tayyiba. Whoever, to whatever extent he has got a connection with Madina Tayyiba, then that much will be his worth in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam mentioned, Ashabi kan nujum, bi'ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. My sahabas, my companions are like the guiding stars. Whichever one of them you follow, you will get guidance. Now what gave them great status and position in the eye of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that they became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah Ta'ala pleased with them, they pleased with Allah Ta'ala. It was because of their companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a person is going to Madina Tayyiba, irrespective of how beautiful the masjid may be, no matter how good the chandeliers are, no matter how beautiful the carpet, no matter how beautiful the building, no matter how beautiful everything else may be of Madina Tayyiba, but we know that the greatest of all after Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is residing there. Therefore, there is nothing more virtuous and there is nothing more beautiful in the sight of the ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam besides Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam's Roza Mubarak. And everything else after that, he loves, he dearly loves, because it has got a nisbat, a ta'alluq, or a connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the question that Hafiz Wadi Sahib has put forward is, or the discussion that he wants should be centered around the experiences of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madina Sharif, or the tabi'in, taba tabi'in, the mashayikh, etc. Now in the limited time that we have, that is definitely not possible. However, just to give you an idea that what used to happen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what kind of yaqeen and what kind of faith they had in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nubuwat, that after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala he is the greatest, and that there cannot be any kind of acceptance of du'as also until the person has got the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he has got the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he takes the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he reads salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he recognizes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and the final of all messengers, until he believes in the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when these companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had such kind of yaqeen, then such kind of incidents took place in their lives. At this moment, suddenly the incident that comes to mind, because I was going to talk on the virtues of Madina Sharif, but nevertheless, an incident that comes to mind is an incident which I have mentioned before also in some of my Hajj Bayan, and that is of a Sahabi and a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained that he had lost his sight. Now one of the most difficult things for a person is to be without sight. The person who has got sight, he can see the colors, he can see the faces of his parents, he can see the faces of his wife and children. He can drive on the streets and he can do so many things. Unfortunately, the person without sight is restricted. So this Sahabi and companion came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I have lost my sight. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala restore my sight. Now remember that they always asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua to Allah ta'ala to restore the sight. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahabi that if you want, I can make dua. But if you are patient over this calamity, if you are patient over this test, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you jannat. This is something that is mentioned in other hadiths also, that if the person is patient over the loss of his sight, then there's great reward in the akhirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewards the person tremendously in the akhirat. It is not that every person who is without sight is being punished or it's an azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost their sight. Nevertheless, this Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would like that my sight be restored. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam asked him to make two rakats of salat and then said that he should make a dua. And in that dua, the words that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam taught this Sahabi, Allahumma inni as'aluka. O Allah, I beseech you, I seek from you. Wa atawajjahu ilayka bi nabiyyika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I turn towards you through the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I turn towards you through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiyyi Rahma, who is the Prophet of Mercy. And thereafter he said, Ya, that continue with the dua. Ya Muhammad, inni atawajjahu ilayka ila inni atawajjahu bika ila rabbi fi hajati lituqda li allahumma fashaffihhu fi. After having made this dua, of course the translation very briefly would be that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through you, and I seek Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's nusrat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must fulfill a need of mine. Inni atawajjahu bika ila rabbi fi hajati. It is because of this hajat and this need of mine that I have lost my sight, that I am turning towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that Allah ta'ala must fulfill this need. He must restore my sight. Allahumma fashaffihhu fi. O Allah, do thou accept the intercession of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahabi says that when I recited this dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala restored my sight. Now we can see how they had that kind of faith and that yaqeen, that if they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua for them, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will accept that dua. So Allah ta'ala restored his sight. Now we may think that this happened 1400 years ago, and it has been recorded in the books of hadith. But wallah, I am in the masjid, and I will not speak a lie, I am in wuzu. That three or four incidents have already happened. An experience of three or four people. One of them, of course, it was not fully restored. But one of them, he asked me to make dua, and I gave him this very dua in Madinah Sharif. Thereafter, he accompanied us. He kept on making this dua in Madinah Sharif, but it seemed as if nothing had happened. When we went over to Makkah Mukarramah, he was with us. A few years ago this happened. He was with us. And about half past 11, 12 at night, it is my habit to make dua right behind the multazam with the companions that are with me, with the friends that are with me. So he too was there. And unfortunately everybody else was watching the Kaaba Sharif, but because he had no sight, therefore he could not see the Kaaba Sharif. So whilst engaged in dua, suddenly, and there are so many witnesses to it, suddenly he started shouting loudly, said, Maulana, I can see the Kaaba Sharif. Maulana, I can see the Kaaba Sharif. I thought it must be a vision or something. We continued with the dua. And at the end of the dua, alhamdulillah, this person actually had his sight restored. And for a number of days, he remained with that sight. Again, after that, he lost that sight. But for a number of days, he was seeing everything happening. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rosa Mubarak, it is not just any ordinary grave site that we are visiting. It is Madina Tayyiba. It is the Rosa of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends 70,000 angels every day to make ziyarat of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they don't get another opportunity of coming and visiting Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam. It is mentioned in one hadith that if a person reads, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And thereafter he says, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. But Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that instead of saying, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ, out of respect rather say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. 70 times. At the Rosa Mubarak, then the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say to this person that may blessings be upon you too and may all your needs be fulfilled. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then fulfills his needs. So the Rosa Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu was-salam, when the person is visiting, he must make plenty of istighfar, plenty of tawbah, because in Madina Sharif, the person must be very, very careful at every step of his. I mentioned this yesterday too. In one verse of poetry, Madine ki galiyon mein har ek qadam par ho madde nazar eh tera mein Madina. Madine ki galiyon mein har ek qadam par ho madde nazar eh tera mein Madina. Madina, 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 bada lutf deta hai naam e Madina. Every step you must be careful, because Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have walked that very ground. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam could have sat there. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam could have had his discourses there. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, which part of the masjid he did not walk. Every area there is of great to be respected. There must be no disrespect of any place in Madina Tayyiba. Wallah, I am telling you the truth. There is no word of lie in what I am telling you. That a person had a dream. And in that dream, when he related that dream to me, he says, Maulana, I want an interpretation of this dream. Outwardly, it did not seem that he had done something very seriously wrong. But I told him that this dream what you have related to me, it clearly shows that you have committed adultery or fornication in Madina Tayyiba. You have committed zina in Madina Tayyiba. The person admitted what he had done. So we must be so careful, because when the people are in the hotel rooms there, those women who are total strangers to them, because there is not much parda that is observed by our South Africans and others, then there is so much of intermingling. And many a times the mother is gone to the Haram Sharif and the daughter is still alone in the room. And many a times even those sweepers and cleaners that come there, there are so much of things that are happening. So imagine in Madina Sharif, if a person is going to indulge in such kind of sin, then what kind of rejection that person will get? What kind of wrath of Allah Ta'ala? Some people have actually gone mad after having committed certain sins in Madina Tayyiba. So experiences are many, many experiences. But let us hear what we should be doing in Madina Tayyiba. And if we really want sukoon of our hearts, sukoon-e jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, sukoon-e jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho, sukoon-e jahan hai nizam-e-madina. Ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se, ho azad akhtar ghame do jahan se, jo ho jaye dil se ghulam-e-madina. If a person really wants sukoon of the heart, he wants peace, he wants tranquility, he wants serenity, he wants some kind of enjoyment, he wants that noor to come into his heart, then where else is he going to find it except in Madina Tayyiba? Sukoon-e-jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho? Sukoon-e-jahan hai nizam-e-madina. bring that nizam of Madina Sharif, Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever he taught us, if we are going to practice and act upon it, then we will get that sukoon in our heart. Remember the maal of Madina Sharif. The maal of Madina Sharif is not radios, television, hi-fis, watches, gold, silver, and all the other things that people pack their bags and bring. That is not the real maal of Madina Sharif. That maal or that wealth or those material things are coming from China, Japan. It is coming from America and from Europe and other parts of the world. That you can get in any other part of the world too. It's not haram to buy from there. We are not saying it's haram to buy. But the way in which people go crazy over just purchases and purchases and purchases, and they bring bags and bags and bags, so that when the children, when the family members and everybody else is asking that, what did you bring? Then we say, this is what we brought. In other words, what we got in our bags, that is what we brought back. Whereas what we should really bring back is in our hearts, the real maal and the real wealth of Madina Sharif is the akhlaq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should bring the akhlaq, the character from the alayhi salatu wasalam, the characteristics. In our lives there should be honesty, truthfulness, sincerity, charity, nobility. There should be respect for the elderly, love for the young ones. There should be no abuse of any kind. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way he behaved with his wives, the relationship that he had with his neighbors. Now all those things are to be brought back. That when the person went from here, he didn't have these things in his life. Now when he returns, then his wives also say that now this person has changed. His family says that his person, there is a difference in him. His customers say that this person before used to swear and he used to use all kinds of languages, and now look at the change in his life. That is what's supposed to be brought back from Madinah Tayyibah.